kind of wish it would have just kept raining in Chicago last night. I've got this, one of our producers, I'm guessing it was Greg Hill, he put together like a Cubs home run montage, all 9 home runs, put into one audio feature. I'm like, why did we do that? I would rather write with Sharpie all over my face for the rest of the day than listen to that 45 seconds. That was a rough one. It was a football score last night. Brewers fall to the Cubs 17-3, but good news is it only counts as one loss. And the Brewers still own a comfortable lead over the Cubs on what was a very warm night in Chicago. Presumably will be again tonight in Game 2. Adam McKelvey at Brewers.com covering the series, covers the team day in and day out. Hi, Adam.
Hi, guys. Tell me, though, what would be worse, losing 17-3 and having Andrew Vaughn give up a bunch of bombs, or losing 1-0, pitching Uribe, pitching McGill, burning Ashby, in a close game, and now you go into tonight having those three guys, Cubs have had looks at them, things like that. I mean, I would argue the latter. I would argue 17-3 hurts you a lot less than another type of game. So that's the kind of glass half full look at what transpired.
I totally agree with you, Adam, because I look at it as just a team that the Brewers have run into that is really hot. And you caught them while they were still hot. And how many other teams this season have said the same thing when they have faced the Brewers?
Yeah. I mean, look, they're alike teams in the sense that they both play really good defense. They both can run the bases. And then they're totally unalike in the way they score runs. For the Cubs, it's tons of homers. They had the second most home runs in August of any month in the history of baseball.
That's
the Yankees
incredible.
Had a month where they, or I'm sorry, home runs, not runs, home runs. So they are a power hitting team. The Brewers are going into this series, at least were tied for last in home runs. They score with getting on base, with having these grindy at bats. They make pitchers wish they, hadn't woke up that morning. They just sort of wear you down and then score runs with speed and plate discipline and putting the ball in play, forcing errors, those types of things. It's a different style of game, and we can argue about what works better in the postseason. I mean, the Brewers are going to have to hit some home runs to win postseason games. They know that, and they're capable of hitting home runs, as they've shown. And look, another stat, if you're a Brewers fan looking to feel a little better, they got walloped last night, 17-3. They still lead the majors in run differentials for the season by double digits. So they are scoring enough runs and doing it in this kind of unique way. Last night was just one to forget.
Yeah, bigger issue to me, or bigger wonder, is with Kyle Harrison, right? You're getting to this point of the season now where he's a relatively young pitcher. He's over 100 innings pitched on the season. And you're trying to figure out who you're going to have behind Jacob Mizorowski in the postseason. You'll definitely need two starters for each series at a minimum. It's looking like he might be losing his grip on that, Adam.
Yeah, that's a big problem right now. And look, the key for Kyle Harrison is that four-seam fastball, and it's good velocity. It was 96 earlier in the year. It's not Jacob Mizorowski-style velocity, but it has these properties that make it really hard for the hitter, and pitchers talk about vert. It's induced vertical break, and it's like the sense of the ball, a fastball rising on a hitter. And Kyle Harrison had those properties on his fastball early. Now it's not been the same since he had that elbow issue around the All-Star break. So, they're looking for that. A little bit more velocity. More, though, getting the properties back on that fastball would really help him. And it's not so far happened for Kyle Harrison. The Brewers, he said last night he's not given up on getting that velo back. He said he feels healthy. He sort of quashed any sense that there's lingering effects of that elbow issue, but I agree with you. They need, they have a month to figure out the rotation. And is Kyle Harrison one of the guys? I mean, in April, May, June, it was obvious that he was going to be one of the main guys with Jacob Mizorowski. Now you have Logan Henderson pitching well. You have Shane Drone giving you some good innings. They're kind of going to throttle that back a little bit here in September to get him ready for whatever role he's needed for in October. Dustin May, they picked up with the idea he would make postseason starts as the one guy who has a little bit of experience in that area. Now, he's not pitched great, trying to get his feet under him as a Brewer after changing teams at the trade deadline. They definitely have some questions to answer behind Jacob Mizorowski and maybe behind Logan Henderson about how they're going to fill out the pitching rotation. And for Harrison, it's opportunity, right? If he can clean up some of that fastball stuff, if he can quit tipping pitches, which he and the Brewers are convinced he was doing to the Cubs last night and in recent starts, by the way, and been getting away with it because that fastball is tough. If he can clean those things up, he certainly has a chance to be a contributor as a starter in October.
And Adam, can you talk about how tough it is holding on to a lead? I think a lot of people don't understand that, because if you're the one that's chasing the leader, you could go out and play free and, you know, no pressure. But that's the one thing I think that as fans, we don't really think about. This is a young team, but holding on to a lead that they've had for a majority of the season, how tough is that when it comes, you know, late August, September, and heading towards the postseason?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's definitely the position you want to be in. Put this, mark this under good problem to have. But it is something that Pat Murphy is aware of, and it's why you hear him all the time talk about avoiding distraction. He wants his players focused on today, and there's this kind of mural in the clubhouse when the players exit the locker room and they walk down the hall, you turn left to get to the field. There's this kind of mural that says win tonight. That's been Murph's mantra over the last couple of years. And he wants his players thinking about the task at hand. That is so much easier said than done. And it's why they took the time to put the dang mural on the wall, because it's something you need to be reminded of when you're playing this game that happens every day. And there's ebbs and flows to the season, and you go through a stretch of 4 or 5 days where you feel like you can't lose, and then you go through a stretch of 4 or 5 days where you feel like you cannot possibly win another baseball game for the rest of your life, and it changes, and it changes so quickly, but it's this everyday kind of grind for young players. Learning how to turn the page and just focus on today is an acquired skill, and I think that Murph and his coaches are working really hard to avoid the divided attention, as Pat Murphy puts it, keep the guys focused. But again, they would much rather be in the position they are now. 7 games up with 24 to go. Weird things have happened in baseball. You know, Matt Arnold was part of the Rays in 2011. They were 9 back of the Red Sox on September 1st. They wound up winning the wild card on the last day of the season, that memorable game 162 day where there were a couple crazy games around Major League Baseball. So he's lived it. The Brewers have lived it in 2018, 2019, where they've chased. It's fun to be the chaser. It's angsty to be the leader. And you would want to be the leader every single time. That angst is a very good thing, because it means you put yourself in a good position.
Adam, when are we going to see bullpen reinforcements? I know Abner Uribe and J.J. Romero did their rehab stints with Class A Wisconsin, and nearing their return, Uribe is with the team in Chicago. I guess I'm not sure where Romero is. I think I kind of lost track. But you're looking for bullpen reinforcements here. I remember last year their bullpen was dead by the time they got to the postseason. They had nothing left in terms of freshness. What are they going to have here in the final month of the season and when rosters expand?
Well, that's an area where they look right now on paper, not you knock on wood saying that they look strong. They activated Abner Uribe from the injured list yesterday. They didn't need him in a 17-3 game. And Jojo Romero is here in Chicago, just to, you know, calm your fears. He's here, and I'm guessing he's going to be activated today when rosters expand. Probably looking like Jojo Romero and Bo Naylor, the catcher that they got, and you bring in Naylor partly so he can have a month of getting to know these pitchers, he'll catch bullpens, he'll play a little bit, he'll sort of get, you know, enmeshed with the team a little bit should something happen and you need him for these huge games in October. So I'm guessing those are the moves today. And Jojo Romero is a lefty, experienced, high leverage. The Brewers got him with Dustin May from the Cardinals and parted with a couple of really good prospects to get both players as rentals. And, you know, I think they're expecting him to make some big outings. Now, you're talking about 1 month, and that's the hard part. Even for Abner Uribe coming back from the injured list, you try to make up for lost time in 1 month, you sort of do yourself a disservice sometimes. So outing to outing, the sort of like same concept about win tonight. But they do feel like they have a couple of reinforcements there. The one thing that's interesting is that Bryce Wilson going to the injured list yesterday, They don't really have like a traditional long man. I mean, Chad Patrick can give you multiple innings. Anderson can give you multiple innings, but they don't have like that long guy. I mean, you get in a situation like last night that has the potential to really mess up your pitching. So, I mean, as tough as it was for Kyle Harrison to wear it on the front of that game and for really Andrew Vaughn to wear it as a position player at the end of the game, at least you preserve some of those key arms for the remaining three games of the series, and they're in a relatively good spot. But they don't have that guy who's going to go out and, like, soak up four innings out of the pen. That's the way they're constructed right now, and we'll see. The extra arm certainly will help for this month.
Game two of the series tonight at Wrigley Field. Adam will be there. It's going to be warm and sticky. Brewers look for a rebound effort tonight, and our coverage gets underway at 6:05. Good stuff, Adam. We'll check it again next week. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
That game last night, I was so excited. Some of my daughters, they love watching Brewers baseball. They both had soccer practice last night. Dad, when did the Brewers start? And we were listening to some of the pregame on the ride home. We get home. Can we watch the game during dinner? Sure. Turn on the game. And then like an inning into the game, they're like, can we go walk the dog? Fine. This is one of those things, right? You get so excited to watch the game and the atmosphere and intensity. And here we go. Stretch run. This is going to be a very meaningful next 10 days of baseball. 7 against the Cubs. And it was just an egg that was laid. It was so bad last night.
You know, it happens sometime. And that's the first time in history where your kid would come to you and say, you know what, Dad, I think we watch too much TV.
Yeah.
You know, let's go outside.
Can I do another math sheet before school starts? Well, sure, honey. Of course you can. Hoping for better things tonight. It's 12:51.